What's going on, Sharp Football family? It is your resident Swami of Konami, Rich Rebar, and we are here in the middle of draft season. We're just 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. And just as a reminder, you can go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can read all of my draft content, all of Ryan McChrystal's draft content, all of Brandon Donahue's draft content over at sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can check out the draft guide, which I'm a big part of. All my rookie rankings are in there. You can get the rookie draft kit. You can use promo code SAVE5. That's SAVE5. Now with the housekeeping out of the way, I'm joined by someone I've been trying to hook up with for a while here. We haven't been able to do it. I was excited to finally get to meet him at the expo 2 years ago when we were robbed. We were robbed of our time together. I think a lot of people felt that way, 2 years ago with you, Ray. And that's the one and only, you know, Ray Garvin from Destination W. Ray, what's going on, brother?
Rich, it was kind of like we were robbed from that elite Garrett Wilson season, four snaps into the Jets 23 NFL campaign. But man, it's good to see you on better terms, brother. I'm up on 2 feet. Achilles is feeling good. I'm excited to talk 24 rookie class with you, baby.
Yeah, how's the explosion right now?
We don't want to know what my speed score right now. I picked up a couple of pounds. I'll say this, Rich. I'll just say this. I can forever say that my career, like I retired at the Hall of Fame. Literally, my career ended in Canton, Ohio, on the Pro Football Hall of Fame field. Explosion ain't there, but I got a lot of heat that I'm going to bring for this conversation tonight, baby. Thank you for having me.
I love it. You're looking good, too, in the hat. I love it. I love to see it, man. Like you said, we're going to talk about this running back class. And, you know, Ray, a lot of people have said, you know, hey, this running back class is bad. Look at the, you know, how the NFL is treating these guys. They were aggressive in free agency with all these veterans. You know, there's a big signal that, you know, no, the NFL is not high on this class. But we know better. There are going to be guys that are going to be productive for fantasy football. There are guys that are going to get opportunity. And while everyone may be down in this class, we're going to bring positive energy to this class, right? Like, we'll be critical. Being critical is not the same as being negative, but, you know, so we're going to bring some positive energy to these guys. We're going to try to highlight some players that we think, you know, present some upside or interesting players to talk about. But first, I kind of want to talk about, you know, the running back position in general for Dynasty. I think it's in a unique spot, you know, from at least for, you know, me and you are at a similar age, you know, running backs growing up were it in fantasy football, right? Like, we were just spoiled. You know, guys were getting 300-400 touches a year, all the touchdowns. And offenses ran through their running backs, right? Like, that was great, man. You know, 80s, 90s, even a little bit in the 2000s. And now we just don't really see that anymore. A lot of committees, you know, the talent's not great. Is this kind of the softest we've seen the running back position from a dynasty stance?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And for me, Rich, I think all of us, when we come into fantasy football, we bring our experiences with the game of football to us, to this game, this proxy of a game that we play for a game, the NFL. And for me, my experience truly comes from, I've loved football, Rich, literally since the day that I can remember. You know, football has been a part of my life. Growing up playing football, having a chance to play a little bit of college ball and be around collegiate athletes in my profession and around professional athletes, football has been a part of my life and a part of me. And watching the game and just paying attention to what the NFL is telling us, I think is one of the biggest edges in fantasy football, is truly watching what's happening with rule changes. What type of offensive sets and formations are the primary offensive sets for NFL teams? And if you just watch and pay attention to the trends, it's been in front of us, Rich, for years. It's been happening. These running back by committees, three wide receiver sets, 11 personnel, more wide receivers on the field in the rules that are being more conducive to high-flying offenses. You can't hit them high. You can't hit them low. You can't hit them from behind. The game is designed to score points, and running the ball up the A-gap doesn't score a lot of points. So I definitely think this is one of the softest errors that we've seen ever in Dynasty Fantasy Football. But, Rich, I think it presents a very opportunistic moment for fantasy gamers to key in and recognize on the important metrics when it comes to the running back position, and maybe identify some players that, hey, they may not tote the rock 330 times a season, but you know, that efficiency that we're chasing, those receptions, they're there in an offense that's going to create offensive running lanes for the back. So I think it's just how we view the running back position today. we were spoiled because we did have greats from year in and year out. So I think it's just how we need to sort of analyze and view the running back position now moving forward for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you know, one of the areas that I've always been, you know, kind of how I got my calling card in fantasy was like, you know, the decade ago when I wrote the Konami Code. And it's funny that like all the mobile quarterbacks are kind of influencing the running back position too now, like a decade later. You know, we're seeing, you know, the NFL defensive meta right now is inviting teams to run. And we've seen teams try to run a little bit more these past couple seasons as, you know, we're getting middle of the field open, more three-man fronts. Like you said, a lot of 11 personnel is being played. So we're getting extra, a lot of nickel. Base defense now is, you know, five DBs.
Yep.
And you're getting six plus DBs on the field now. But what's happened though is that running backs are still touching the ball less because of the mobile quarterbacks. And it's not just quarterbacks getting runs. It's also, you know, how mobile quarterbacks, you know, don't necessarily always check it down, right? And then the other thing that's happened is, you know, we're seeing a lot of, you know, the too high stuff in the middle of the fields open. And what else is having a little bit of a renaissance here is the tight end position.
Tight end.
The middle of fields open, maybe.
Yeah.
Tight ends are starting to get their usages trickling up. I was really high on the rookie class last year, not just because I was talented, but I was like, oh, this is like the perfect strike zone for these guys to come into the NFL. The tight end is back. Like, it's getting used. Now, unfortunately, we still don't have enough good players at the position for fantasy. The tight ends are being used. Absolutely. But what happened is these mobile quarterbacks now are stealing our money touches from running backs. So not only are the touches going down for running backs, but we're losing the touches that, like, are rich in that fantasy fat I always talk about. You know, the catches and the goal line carries. And, you know, look at last year. I mean, quarterbacks had 80 carries from the 1 yard line last year. It's 52 touchdowns and 22. It's just 55 carries, 36 touchdowns. Now Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen only had 16 of those touchdowns. That's more than the difference. That's less than the difference that went up a year. So it's not just those two guys. And then we've seen running back targets drop 5 years in a row from the year prior. So all these things are kind of manipulating the game. And that's what's made kind of important. You said the metrics that matter, the usage that matters, right? Like if you have a guy that doesn't play with a mobile quarterback, basically plays all three downs, like you can get there in fantasy football. This is how Rashad White won last year. This is how he won. It's not like Rashad White was a special player in terms of the football field last year, but he didn't play with a mobile quarterback. He didn't come off the field. And you score fantasy points.
That's right. It was inefficient, Rich, but you scored him. Damn it. I don't care. It was inefficient. You got him done.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we still have some talent, though, at the top here. I mean, you look at some guys that are in the spot. Like, Breece Hall is in that spot, right? Like, Breece Hall is going to be playing with a quarterback. It's not going to run at all, right? He's going to catch passes, and he's going to basically has no threat. Like, you know, Israel Abanaconda is not taking Breece Hall touches.
No.
So, I mean, he definitely is a guy, like, when you look at it, and, you know, one of the guys that still also fits that mold is Christian McCaffrey. And dynasty gamers kind of feel like they don't know what to do with Christian McCaffrey right now. He's approaching, like, kind of that age cliff kind of zone. You know, people, do they try to get out on him? Do you try to sell? You're definitely not going to get 100 cents on the dollar for, no, you know, anyone that's Christian McCaffrey's age in dynasty, because everyone that's buying Christian McCaffrey, even if they're a team playing for it all, they know you're trying to sell Christian McCaffrey for the same reasons. But how long do you think Christian McCaffrey can kind of keep this up? I mean, this is a guy that's just in an ideal spot, right, for production. And, like, eventually, Ray, we're going to see one of these guys, like, make it into, like, their early 30s and, like, keep being productive. Raheem Mostert, I mean, dude had 20 touchdowns at age, you know, 32 last year. So, like, is Christian McCaffrey one of these guys that maybe breaks the mold in Kyle Shanahan's office? Like, could this dude play to 32 and you get like 4 to 5 more years of this?
I definitely think he's one of the guys that if you were going to place your money on that card for somebody being able to accomplish it, he fits the mold for one of those type of players. The usage in the receiving game, the fact that he's not just slammed up the gut repeatedly. He's used in space. And some of the subtleties that you watch in his game when he is on the sidelines, very rarely is he trying to duck his shoulder like Isaiah Pacheco and take a hit on the way out of bounds. He's preserving his body. I would like to see, and I know fantasy gamers won't like to hear this, but I would like to see a little bit of a pullback on some of his usage in 2024, find a competent backup running back, whether that's Elijah Mitchell or whomever, that can spell him from time to time just to keep him fresh. Do I think, to answer your question, that he can last until 32? Maybe, But I do not believe that he'll be able to last doing it the same way that he's been, that he's doing it right now. It may look a bit different. He may turn into more of an efficient touch type running back, but he definitely fits the build as one with the skill set, surrounded by the team and the situation, that can last multiple years. And therein lies the problem when you're trying to trade for or away a player, aka Captain America Christian McCaffrey. That's sort of the crux of the situation with him. He's far more valuable from a point scoring perspective on your roster than the isolated 106 and a random second that you can get for him. And if you have him and you're trying to move him, you're like, I know he's worth more than the pick that will be Brian Thomas Jr., but what do I do here? So he's the perfect type of player in a great situation where he's one of them cats, Rich, where normally he's just the type of player that I die on my team. I'll just go down with the ship with Christian McCaffrey. When it falls off, like, that's fine. I'll just enjoy the points and the difference that he made on my roster.
Yeah, I think that tracks. It makes a lot of sense. Because like I said, even if you're a team that say you have Christian McCaffrey and you're dead in the water, I mean, Ray, you play in all these leagues. We're jackals out there, man. We see what your roster is. We know. Like, you got to try to move him, and you're just not going to get equal return, no. Like you said. I mean, one other guy kind of in that strike zone where you look at, like, dynasty rankings, and there's kind of, like, this group of guys. Like, the CMC is still being productive, but, like, gamers just, like, kind of have one foot in, one foot out on, and that's Saquon Barkley. And, you know, Saquon, people forget about, like, Saquon coming out of Penn State, you know.
Rich, I was at the game where he made that run versus USC in the bowl game that propelled him. I was in the damn stadium. So I ain't forget about Saquon. That is burned into my soul and heart forever.
Yeah, I mean, he's been awesome. You know, my oldest son is 19, and I have him going back and watching a bunch of players, and Saquon definitely doesn't fit that mold. He's you know, younger, but, you know, have him watching, like, older players. And, you know, I was trying to tell him just how good Ezekiel Elliott was in college, and, like, trying to watch and having him watch him. It's like, the dude was just unreal. And that Saquon was on that level and then some, because Saquon knew he was a better athlete than 95% yep. of the dudes on the field. And because that was the one kind of knock on him, and he knew it, and he would try to hit you with some home run balls. And he still does that in the NFL. Sometimes there's detriment because he's not as great as an athlete. But if you look at Saquon up until this point, the dude has played on just vagabond teams, just garbage teams. He's been the best player on his team and the only player on his offense. He's played with one blue chip player on offense that is skill spot, and that's Odell Beckham. It was for 1 year. And now he's been on a roster that the leading receiver for the Giants for the past 5 years was Darius Slayton. He's never even had 800 yards in a season. And now he's good joining a team that has A.J. Brown, has Devontae Smith, that has Jalen Hurts. Like, is this a chance where we see Saquon bounce back? Do you think that this is it a hindrance, like Jalen Hurts and the tush push? We talked about some of those quarterbacks taking those one yard, you know, carries, and the Eagles have been one of those teams. Like, so what do we do at Saquon? Is, like, is there hopium that, like, he still has, like, some pushback? Are you using this as, like, a leverage spot? Say, if, hey, anyone believes that he can be, like, a top five running back now, like, I am selling for that.
I think both statements can be true, Rich. I think we can get to the end of the season, and Saquon Barkley absolutely gave us a top five season. And I also believe that you can cash out on his, I call it ADV, artificial dynasty value, where he's rising up for no reason, and you can sell and capitalize on that fictitious market that's out there on Saquon Barkley. I will say my gut feel, which is not quantifiable by any stretch of the imagination, I do think he will smash this season. You talked about it. He's playing with Darius Slayton being his leading receiver. There will not be heavy box fronts against the Philly. You just can't do that. If you do that, you will be exploited on the outside, and heaven forbid they draft a wide receiver in 2024 just to make that 11 personnel offensive set even more potent. He's probably going to play well, Rich. It's never been the issue hasn't been Saquon Barkley's skill set. It's been the team and his health. He can't stay healthy. It's the ankle injuries, the ACL, just in the freak stuff. I think he got hurt in the Dallas game a couple of years ago. Just got rolled up on the wrong way, and that's the nature of the running back position.
It was Kadarius Tony. Kadarius Tony has done nothing but wreck our lives,
dude. I don't know why you invoked his name, but just disgusting that we were robbed by Kadarius Tony, amongst other things. But I do think that Saquon is in a situation, in a spot in which he should smash here in 2024. He should absolutely smash. But Rich, in this day and age, the way the running back position is devalued in Dynasty, if I have an opportunity to cash out on Saquon Barkley with his value being perceived as a top five, top three, potentially the running back that can finish RB1 in 2024, in Dynasty, you have to do that. Because it just, Rich, don't you notice with running backs, man, and go through, you can go back in time. Very rarely is the decline for running back like a nice gradual you get to jump off. It's 1 minute you're drafting David Montgomery over Le'Veon, David Johnson over Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and the next minute he's out of the league. It happens just that fast. So if you get that value spike on Saquon Barkley, you have to seriously consider cashing out unless you're a contender and you want to hold that volatility.
Yeah, it's not like wide receiver where these guys kind of just like coast into their early 30s.
No.
And you just kind of, you know, enjoy, even when you're mad, right? Like you look at like from a dynasty perspective, like people were probably like mad at Davante Adams a little bit last year, but like the dude still like caught 100 balls and, like at age 31, like you're still getting that. Like at running back, you're zero. You're just
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry might be the only exception to that, right? Like Derrick Henry is like kind of one of those guys. Like he's still not the Derrick Henry from like 4 years ago, but like he just feels unkillable, man. Like he just keeps kind of, He's
a cockroach, man. He's a souped up cockroach. You just can't kill him.
Yeah, just what an absolute demon. You know, we were watching it, not to just go back to that Ohio State Alabama, you know, playoff game where it was Blake Sims was the quarterback. And that team was so good. And I was watching my son. He's like, how did this team not win? And I was like, well, they had a bad quarterback, but like that team had Derrick Henry, you know, TJ Yeldon, Amari Cooper, like Marlon Humphrey was on defense. Like, oh, it was like watching two future NFL teams play each other. In that game, it was wild.
Yeah,
but, I'll put you in a spot before we talk about these running backs. If you don't have an answer, a cool answer, that's fine too. But like, are there any like running backs, like fringe, like lower end running backs you're just trying to like grab in and buy that you think like could blow up or provide some value, like based on like where the market's treating them right now?
Well, I think you said a couple of names, and when you say buy, it's all relative to cost. Yeah. So when I say this name, I'm not talking about go out and pay a 24 first round pick, a 24 second. But I'll just throw you a couple of names quickly. You invoke the name of Raheem Mostert. I love Devon Achane. Love him. But in Dynasty, he's valued as a top six, top seven, top eight running back. Mostert, I'm looking at it now, outside of the top 36. This is another running back that in a one-year sample size, if I can trade the rights to the 305 to get Raheem Mostert for a team in which I want points for 2024, hell yeah, sign me up for Raheem Mostert. And I'm not trying to chase the 20 touchdowns, but the opportunity should be there inside of that Miami Dolphins offense for him to produce. I think both of the Cincinnati Bengals backfield runners, Zach Moss and Chase Brown, are the type of running backs that you can acquire as, I don't want to call them right. throw-ins in deals, but ancillary pieces to the main dish of a trade package. And then one final cluster of player, and these aren't on the low ranges, Rich, but I want to throw this out there. You know the running backs that I'm really interested in buying? It's the doggone hammers. It's Breece Hall. It's Jahmyr Gibbs. And I think there's a way to go about doing it without liquidating future capital. There are so many threshold level wide receivers right now in the NFL that have ADV, that have this artificial dynasty value that people believe. T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, even with his different situation. I love those guys. Those are phenomenal players, but the likelihood that they ever finish in a range that they're going to produce crooked numbers for you, difference-making seasons like an Amon-Ra, like a CD, probably slim, Rich. So if I can pair one of those threshold-level wide receivers with a future second, hell, a 25 first-round pick, and you're talking about I can add a player like Breece Hall to my roster, I will do that. 7 days a week, 24/7, 365.
Yeah, I love that, especially that group of wide receiver, which generally, like is like you said, they're just not difference makers in terms of what they're providing from a positional value stance. Like everyone has like that level of wide receiver production, and you usually end up running into it with some guys over the course of a season. So I love like that tier of guys, especially. I mean, JSN, I mean, I'm going to have Harmon on to talk about wide receivers, and like, I can't wait to tie into like this class versus JSN's like value from a year ago. You got to be terrified if you spent a 101 JSN last. You cannot be feeling great. You just cannot be feeling good. Some other guys too. I love the Zach Moss call because a lot of people I know are excited about Chase Brown. And I think, you know, Chase Brown definitely is, there's reason to be excited about him and the explosive plays he can provide. But a guy that's going to a veteran team, like Zach Moss is going to play a lot of football.
Yes.
As long as he's healthy.
Yes.
Like he's going to play a lot on a veteran roster. And he's a guy also is going to be making like a seamless scheme transition. I mean, no running back had more carries out of shotgun last year than Zach Moss, a higher rate of his carries from shotgun. And I mean, that's what the Bengals do, man. Like this is the Bengals MO. So, I mean, he's going to just walk in there and not really have to try to pick up a new system. What's that? Go for it. You can jump.
No, I was like, yeah, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm just everything you're saying. I'm just like, yep, yep.
Yeah. I mean, some other guys too, I think that are fine taking a shot on, like guys like Evan Hall. I think Antonio Gibson is kind of interesting to take a shot on because he's been left for dead. What ironically, Ramondre Stevenson is in the same exact position Antonio Gibson was in last year, where Gibson has the big second year, kind of comes back the third year, then just doesn't do anything the fourth year, is on a new team. Like that could be Ramondre. Yep. Very much in the same spot. And ironically, Gibson is on that team now this year. Evan Hall, why not, right? Like, to take a shot at him. Jonathan Taylor has been hurt the past 2 years. Like, that roster, like, Trey Sermon is, like, on that roster. They probably add someone. Here's a wild card one for you. You liked Najee Harris a lot coming out, I remember.
I did. Yeah.
Najee, I assume the Steelers won't pick up his fifth-year option. We'll know in a month. Let's assume they don't. Let's say 4 weeks from now, we find out the Steelers didn't pick up his fourth-year option. Najee Harris, second-year contract, potentially a guy that does everything.
Yes.
Like he may not be a guy that does everything at like a Breece Hall level, but like coaches love a guy like Najee Harris. There's a reason why Jalen Warren isn't getting the touches you all want him to get. And it's because Najee Harris is trustworthy in just about every component of the game. Najee Harris leaving that Pittsburgh team potentially. Could he potentially
absolutely
be a guy that's
absolutely Rich, go through and just look at the running backs historically who have earned 60%+ of snaps. Just take a look at it. They all look the same outside of a select few. And those select few could arguably be the greatest pass-catching running backs the game has ever seen, but they're all 215, 220 pounds plus. Najee Harris, while he is not exciting because he doesn't rip off the big plays, he's not overly explosive, 3 straight 1,000, there's a role for him in the NFL. He's the type of guy that can just, there is something about dependability in the NFL, just knowing that this guy's going to be there and I can turn around and hand him the ball 17 times and he's going to show up all 17 weeks of the season. He's going to have a role in the NFL. And you know what? Remember when everyone hated David Montgomery until they didn't? Everybody called him a slug, the feet of Saquon, the speed of Walter Payton. Everybody hated him until they didn't. And you look and was he ever a difference maker? No, but definitely a usable asset that you can plug and play in your lineups. And the 3 quick names I just want to toss to you, Rich, just Jaleel McLaughlin, Chuba Hubbard. Just curious your thoughts on Chuba, Jaleel McLaughlin, and Gus Edwards out of LAC.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Gus Edwards, obviously, they're trying to build a little bit of Baltimore West a little bit. You know, they did bring Dobbins in for a immediate sign. They signed Bradley Bozeman, like all these guys that played like with Roman. But I mean, Gus Edwards, since he's been in the NFL, one of the most efficient running backs. Now, he's been efficient in like a certain area, right? Like this is a guy that's not going to get 300 touches. He's probably right around 200, like 175 to 200. But we know he's going to get those money touches we talked about, right? Like he's going to be getting those goal line carries. And it's just a guy you can add, like you said, almost like a bridge down from that Zach Moss area. Like he's not going to cost a lot. You get him thrown into a trade or you give up some low leverage pick if you're, you know, a team competing and you just need a guy. Like I love when I'm on a competing roster getting that level of running back. You know, I trade for Aaron Jones. Like, you know, same thing. I'm just trying to basically get a year where it doesn't cost me my first round pick, right?
Right.
Like, you know, I'm trying to just give away one of these low seconds or low thirds to get a guy. McLaughlin, obviously, like, you know, people kind of want to draw the corollary. Like he's in that, you know, Pierre Thomas role in the Sean Payton offense. And Javonte, man, I love Javonte, but like, what if that injury, like he tore everything. He tore the ACL, the PCL, the LCL, and he was dust last year. Like, and we'll see, he's a year back. We all are cheering for it. But he's also in the final year of his contract year. And the Denver Broncos, I wrote up the Denver Broncos this week at sharpfootballanalysis.com. It's a free article. You read it. this roster is just awful. Like, it is awful. And like, they're not going to be spending money to retain running backs. Like, they'll just play the probably another guy. Like, so, I mean, I like those calls. Circle back to Najee real quick. Najee in Dynasty, after Joe Mixon, after Tony Pollard, after Ramondre Stevenson, he's two spots ahead of Javonte Williams, who we just talked about. Might be glue. Like, I mean,
you seems know, like a buy. What does it cost, Rich? Well, he can't cost more than a late.
Mid second. And look at what James Conner's been doing for years. Like, you know, yeah. James Conner's obviously in a different boat because he does miss time because of, you know, the sickness that he had. His body doesn't bounce back. But anytime James Conner has put his uniform on, has been really good for fantasy football.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about some rookies, though. I know some people were like, I thought you guys were talking about rookies.
We could talk about football all damn day, Rich.
We're talking about Najee Harris and James Conner. All right, let's kick it off here. We'll let the conversation kind of steer itself through you here. I want to know who your RB1 is in this class, and I'm gonna hit you a follow up question because you can bring this up. I want to know if the draft, depending the order these guys get selected in or where they land, if potential that changes. Like, if you have a group of guys. And then we'll kind of go from there. If it could change, like if you say you like have Trey Benson one and then the Cowboys take Jonathan Brooks, does that change your mind?
Oh my goodness. So I'm reading through the show sheet and I dread this question and I mean this sincerely. Right now, going into the NFL draft, my RB1 is Blake Corum.
Okay.
The reality is the same
corollary we just talked about, like guys that just get it done.
There's nothing spectacular. I think he did show and test to be a better athlete than people thought, which is good for Blake Corum. But I'm aware of the mileage on his legs, on his knees, all of that stuff. The reality of this position in today's game is this, Rich. I don't believe that any of these running backs, any of them in the entire class, on their own are isolated difference makers. I don't believe that we have one of those guys in this class. I think we have some very good running backs. Maybe we get some Rashad Whites out of this class, but ultimately the situation is going to matter. The opportunity that's in front of them. I don't care how much I love Jonathan Brooks. If he gets drafted by the Jets, if he gets drafted by the Detroit Lions, I'm just like, what do I do with that? Well, how do I even begin to project opportunity in that backfield? So a lot of it for me is going to come down to situation, landing spot. And you know, I didn't say draft capital because I think they're all going to get similar capital. I think majority of these guys, maybe one sneaks into round two, but you're probably talking about round three to round five, round six running backs. And in today's NFL, if you're alive with two legs, you're probably going to carry the rock if you make the 53. So I would say Blake Corum is my right now RB1. I love the upside and potential for Jonathan Brooks. And if he hits a spot like Dallas, even if he hits a spot that's got an established veteran running back, he's probably propels to that one spot. And when it's all said and done and the dust settles, I think it's going to be somewhere Blake, Brooks, Benson as my top three running backs in some way, shape, form, or order.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, Corum's a guy who, like, you know, I'm someone that does, like, you know, prospect models and stuff. Like, he's just never really going to pop, but, like, he reminds me a lot of Kyren Williams from a couple years ago. He's not, like, a huge guy, like 5'8", 205, and, like, more not – he didn't have the receiving profile Kyren Williams had in Notre Dame, but I'm thinking, like, Kyren Williams, what we saw from Kyren Williams last year, like, on the right. Rams. That's what I see. And like, maybe that ends up being a problem because we've seen a guy like Kyren Williams, even at that size, get banged up with that, yes, with that big workload. And I'm curious to see his dynasty. We didn't, you know, he's an interesting dynasty conversation with itself too, but that's kind of what he reminds you of, but just the grinder. And you know, Blake Corum was a guy who his first 2 years had that explosion. I think he played through a couple injuries last year. And I mean, the Michigan offense too, like, just did not help Blake Corum. We talked about how the NFL now has gone to more 11 personnel and lighter boxes. That is not what Blake Corum's life was like at Michigan. They did not hide the fact that they were going to line up with a fullback and a tight end on the field and run the football. I mean,
it's 31 personnel. They're in there with three tight ends, Rich. I don't, you don't see much 31 personnel, but good night, man.
77% of his carries last year, seven more in the box. 42% of his carries came with eight or more in the box. That's almost half of his carries.
It's crazy.
And still was out there turning high success rate runs. You know, like I said, he did get sapped a little bit on the explosive runs, but I mean, that's stuff that's kind of nebulous. It can kind of come and go in the NFL. We want guys that can get consistent yardage. And like, he's a guy like coaching staffs know what they have. Like that's why I think he's going to go high. You know, funny fact is I have a little trivia question for you. So the lowest running back ever drafted at RB1 was pick 54 overall. One, do you know who that guy was? And two, do you think anyone here beats that?
Give me the year.
2014. It wasn't even long ago. It was 2014.
14. That was the Odell Beckham, Mike Evans wide receiver class, right?
Great wide receiver class.
Sammy Watkins. What should have been
second round Devontae Adams.
What a class. We need to do a show. We just go back and look at classes. But it's not Sankey, is it?
Is it Bishop Sankey?
Yep. Let's go, baby. There we go. Bishop Sankey.
Yeah.
How much of that Sankey did you have, Rich? Did you have a lot of that Bishop Sankey?
I had one share was too much. Remember, he scored two touchdowns his first NFL game, too. And that might have been the only two he scored. I can't remember. But it was like a Stephen Hill situation. But I kind of have a four-man tier at the top. I put him in there, and it's kind of like you said, I'm kind of waiting to see what shakes up. I have Brooks. I think Brooks is the best running back of the best player. I just have questions. You know, we have a guy that already he tore his ACL in November. He's got kind of a 1 year of production. You know, we have seen guys like Nick Chubb and Frank Gore come into the NFL with you know, ACL tears and, you know, still be productive. I just don't know when he's going to play as a rookie and be specifically ready. And if you're not ready as a rookie, like in this particular class, like does a team just move on or add more bodies, especially with the way the NFL goes now, right? Like this isn't like taking a guy at pick 20 and saying, we're going to ride or die with this guy through his knee injury. This is taking a guy at pick 50 to 60 and saying, all right, he only played 8 games for us last year. We better draft another dude still. And like, he's got competition in year two. But I do think he's like the best all around player. I'm just kind of waiting to see like where the capital is, where the landing spot is. I have Jalen Wright in that group too. And it's only because from a fantasy football stance, I think from a real NFL stance, Jalen Wright's going to have some obstacles in getting a lot of touches. But I think the touches that he could warrant in his apex outcome could be kind of like a thrift store Jahmyr Gibbs. Like if he hits that apex second, I don't want to just say he is Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm saying like, if he hits this minute, threads this needle and kind of get there. Cause I think he's going to catch more pass in the NFL. He's just an explosive player, but he's never going to get in between the tackle work. He's never going to be a guy that like basically is like pushing for 15 to 20 carries. And then I have Benson in that group too. Benson's probably my least favorite player from like a player perspective, but like, he checks all the boxes, right? Like he's 215 pounds. He's super fast. Like he has enough production. He's probably going to get drafted highly. So that's enough. Like that's really what it is.
It's the process, right? Yeah. And an interesting thing with Jalen Wright, and something that I want to talk to you about, because for me, sometimes Rich, I'm truly trying to, I think one of the bigger edges in Dynasty is understanding or at least having a clue how everybody else is going to react, right? How is the Dynasty community as a whole, how will we react if certain outcomes happen? So let's just vibe with me for a second, Rich. Blake Corum, he gets out there and he's on the field day one. He's getting 13 carries, but it's inefficient, 13 for 47, 50 yards here. He's just grinding out work. He's on the field, but not really producing. Jalen Wright goes out there and he's playing behind James Conner, clearly the second running back. Mm-hmm. He's getting 6 touches, but on those 6 touches, he's ripping off 15 yards. There was a 32-yard reception. There was another 11-yard run. People will want that. Like fantasy gamers will be like, oh crap, I've got a poor man's Devon Achan, a poor man's Jahmyr Gibbs. I want that guy over the grinder. I can see a world in which that explosiveness, that speed in the right system, it just gets the fantasy football gamers, blinkers going crazy that they got to have the next Keaton Mitchell or a player like that. And it's speed. The need for speed. People like that, that explosiveness, the fact that it doesn't take 22 opportunities for him to crack my lineup. So I understand why you like Jalen Wright, and I like him as well.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. And I think that that's give or take a guy or two there. I think that's probably going to be, like, in terms of draft order, probably going to be the top four guys.
Okay.
You know, we'll see what order end up those guys going in. Do you have another guy that you kind of think? Well, let me talk to you about the two guys that I think missed their era of football by 15 years.
Talk to me.
They might get drafted. Like, what do we do with Audric Estime and Braylon Allen? Like, because these are two guys. I actually like Audric Estime a lot. And whoever the Notre Dame strength and conditioning coaches that get these guys ready for the combine, like, we got to get, like, that guy's got to be out. Like, we did it with Kyron Williams where he ran like a 4.7, like, but like clearly was a good player. And like, yes. Audric Estime clearly is a good player. The dude had, you know, 12 touchdowns, 1,100 yards at age 19. I'm pretty sure he doesn't suck. But like, you know, he tests poorly. He's not going to catch the football. He's a guy that's going to be reliant on, like, situation for fantasy perspective. Like you said, he could be a guy that's – he's getting those 15 touches but only getting us 75 yards, and we need touchdowns from him, right? Like the Brian Robinsons of the world, like that – Zamir White, right? Like that type of running back. And then Braylon Allen's kind of in that same mold. Like, what do we do with those guys?
I like Estime a little more than Allen personally. I think he's a better running back than Braylon Allen. I really, truly do. Can he be – a better version? Because I was not a fan of this player coming out of college. He got the capital, but I still was not a fan of his skill set. Can he be a better version of AJ Dillon? Can he do more with the opportunity that AJ Dillon kind of was afforded earlier in his career? I think he could be. I think he can be a better banger compliment. Can he? You put Estime in a situation where he's got the type of opportunity that Ramondre Stevenson had in New England. I think he can do similar things, maybe not from the receiving standpoint. And that's what really hurts Estime, but I believe he is a far better runner than Braylon Allen. But here's the thing, Rich. People love Braylon Allen, 17-year-old running back. He's at Wisconsin. Rich, did you know he's going to play in the NFL for 20 years? Because he's only 17, so he's just going to be around forever running the ball. And you watch the tape, and to be as big as he is, and to have some of the physical attributes, even though we really don't know how fast he is, he just doesn't play. He's the furthest thing from Derrick Henry there is. So if anybody throws that lazy comp out there, just stop. He's not even close to him. I'm with you.
Derrick Henry was an insane athlete. Like, an insane athlete.
And he wasn't scared to show it either.
And we didn't see Braylon Allen run, but like he did agility drills, and he was awful in the agility drills.
I'm not a fan. I am far more interested in Estime than I am Braylon Allen. I believe both of these guys, like you said, to a degree, missed their era. But you know what, Rich? If they land in a spot where they say, you know what, we're going to roll this cat out there and give him 200 touches, he's going to be a player that you want to have on your rosters. I'll sell that player. I will trade them the moment they end up starting. But it's going to, and that's why I'm very careful with how I say this. I'm personally not a fan of Braylon Allen. I'm not drafting him to insert into my lineup. But if I'm at a spot between a Braylon Allen or, I don't know, Bucky Irving or some other running back, and I know everybody else in my league loves that, I'm taking the guy that everybody – I'm taking the ADV on Allen, and I'm flipping him immediately.
Yeah, I like that. That's what you do, is you kind of try to treat like how your league mate's going to treat this. You don't have to always just say, like, I'm going to get the guy that I believe is going to be good. Yeah, I mean, we just have so many kind of nebulous running back spots right now because so many veterans are occupying spots because of all the carousel we had this offseason. And it's just going to be interesting to see where some of these guys land and like kind of some of the opportunities that they get. Maybe not necessarily in year one, but like what happens in year two and year three. But next year's running back class does look pretty good on paper. So, So after that group, like who do you kind of have in like that secondary group that like, you know, Ray Garvin likes, like maybe – you know, you're trying to beat your league mates too. Like anyone else you like in that secondary class.
Yeah, you see that helmet right there? That's USC right there. I think they got a back, Rich, a guy that was a 5-star recruit, something like that, ended up tearing his knee. Marshawn, I think is his name. Marshawn, not Lynch, but Lloyd. Yeah, Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. That's a player that I think his game will translate better to the NFL. Who is he? What's his outcome at the next level? Not sure what situation he falls into will probably dictate what some of that is, but I am a fan of his game. I think he's the type of running back where the pedigree is there. So clearly he was a talented kid coming out, played in the SEC for a little bit, transitioned to USC, and some of the things in his receiving profile that are a little concerning, I'm going to just tell you, Caleb Williams wasn't checking down to no running back. That's just not what Caleb Williams was going to do. He was going to scramble, make plays, take off and run if it wasn't a design run play. I'm a fan of Marshawn Lloyd, and I'm gonna give you another one, Rich, and I feel like this was a player whose name has just been in the cycle for so long that people just kind of discard him. Right? Will Shipley, I'm still a fan. I'm still a fan of Will Shipley in the role in which I believe he can occupy at the next level. I always say this, Rich. There's a difference between running backs that can catch passes and running backs that can be deployed as pass-catching weapons.
Right.
Will Shipley can be deployed as a pass-catching weapon from day one. I believe that he fits the build of a proper complement to a Najee Harris. If he were paired up with Najee Harris and he were Jaylen Warren, I think he'd be phenomenal in that element of the game, that those efficient touches. You're hoping the outcome for Will Shipley is he's on the field in four-minute offensive situations, two-minute drills, passing down situations, and hopefully he can siphon a few between the 20s rush attempts as well. I'm still a big fan of Will Shipley's skill set. I think from the size, speed, athleticism perspective, he kind of checked those boxes through the pro day. So I'm still in on Shipley at the reduced cost in which he will be, because he's probably not going to be a day two pick.
Right.
Probably looking at a day three running back. Situation is going to be critical for him, but you plop him into a situation where you're like, he's probably going to at least have an opportunity to be that third down back. Give me some Will Shipley. I'm a big fan of his game still.
Yeah, and touch on both those guys real quick. Marshawn Lloyd, I almost would have had in my tier one with the group of guys we talked about. And I believe from a player stance, he does belong with that group. It's just, you know, from a draft capital perspective, I have no idea like where he's going to go. Right. Yeah. Like, I just don't know. Like, whereas at least we know, like, even if you don't like Benson, even if you don't like Corum, even if you don't like, you know, Jalen Reuter, you don't like Jonathan Brooks, like, we know they're going to be in that like 60 to 100 range. Like, Marshawn Lloyd, like, he could go in the fourth round, he can go in the fifth round. Like, we don't know. But I think from a talent perspective, he's there. I love that you brought Will Shipley, because I think Will Shipley, from an archetypical stance, is just outright a better football player than Bucky Irving, and no one else believes it. But I think they're going to be, you know, people love Bucky Irving, and I just think Will Shipley's a better version of that, like what you're going to get. Because like you said, he's a guy that's going to actually play wide receiver. Like, he played 19% of snaps lined up as a slot receiver last year, most in this class. There was one other guy, but he didn't play D1 football. I do want to talk to you about him. But he had the drop off last year in production, but he can be used that way. And he's bigger than Bucky Irving. He's bigger and a better athlete. Like, he's 206 pounds. Bucky Irving was 192. Like, that matters. Like, that
and
matters.
Ran a 4.5, right? And ran a 4.5 for Bucky.
Yeah. And, you know, Bucky played. And I have trouble with all the Oregon guys, not necessarily Troy Franklin, but like, I mean, that offensive line was the best offensive line in college football. Like,
great.
I mean, it's hard for me to say, like, we got a guy that ran, you know, that was 192 pounds, tested out in the sixth percentile of athletic running backs, from a production from since 2000, sixth percentile athletic score for Bucky Irving. Like, how am I supposed to weigh his production versus the situation in that? Like, it's just hard. It's just really hard.
It's difficult. It's difficult. And, you know, Bucky, at least he caught the ball, right? He caught a bunch of passes, but I'm 1,000% with you. I believe Shipley is just a better football player. I just wonder if, like, just being honest, is there some of that white running back bias, right? Because he's expected to be Christian McCaffrey, Danny Woodhead, pass catching. Remember Max Borgie, how that failed us? And I just, all I'll say is he's not that, right? He's not though. He's a good running back. He's not a great running back. He's not one of the best in this class, but he's got a skill set, a particular set of skills that right team identifies that you look up, and I'm throwing out. Good Lord, I don't even want to say this team's name, because you could peg about 37 prospects to this team. But you look at what Kansas City was able to do with Jerick McKinnon in that role, paired next to Isaiah Pacheco. You put Shipley in that situation. It doesn't take over for Pacheco, but you allow him to do some of the things and run some of the concepts that Jerick McKinnon did. My goodness, you could be in for chef's kiss, fantasy goodness right there.
I love it. I mean, this class, even while people don't necessarily love it from a ceiling perspective, there are good pass catchers in this draft.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And like you said, we might as well talk about Dylan Lobe, because, you know, he's, This is the guy, the low-hanging fruit. This is Danny Woodhead. This is like what you get the Danny Woodhead comps. And what's funny is we have a bunch of those guys this year. You know, Ladd McConkey gets the white wide receiver comp. And then Cooper DeJean is getting the Jason Sehorn stuff already too. And he's more
Stop. Is he really? I didn't go that far. I did go Cooper Kupp with that, but I didn't pull out Sehorn for damn Cooper, man. Come on, man.
We're good. But I got to talk to you about that, Olave, because, like, you know, people talk about the Danny Woodhead comps and stuff like that. But I like him. The guy I comp him to, and I think that what you're looking for from him as a rookie is Tariq Cohen, how Tariq Cohen was used a few years ago at the Bears, a guy that cut his teeth on special teams and as a pass catcher. Because I'll tell you what, Dylan Labe as a runner at New Hampshire, he didn't show me a lot as a runner. Like handing him the football, I didn't see very much. And he played against some guys that we're not going to see play future football, probably not even not in the UFL, but he can play special teams, and we know he can catch football. And that's what I think, that's how you get on the field. And that's why I comp him maybe more to like how Tariq Cohen is a rookie. That's like the outcome you're hoping for. But what do you see with Dylan Love? Do you share my concerns with him as a runner? Like, dude, because, you know, obviously he's a fun player.
That ain't his game. You just turn around and just hand him the ball at the next level. That ain't his game. And it doesn't take much New Hampshire tape for you to come to that conclusion. But I'll say this. Because of that, I think it makes our jobs easier, Rich. Not every time. And it's funny when people ask the question, do you think you're smarter than NFL franchises? I don't want to be arrogant, but sometimes I think some people are, because let me tell you, from conversations I've had from people that have been in rooms, some of the people making decisions are not the sharpest football minds, okay? But you have to just assume, because he's not a prolific rusher, that's not his calling card, that the team that drafts him, they've got a plan in place. They see something in him, and they feel that there's a role in which he can occupy on that team. Mm-hmm. So I think where he's drafted, doesn't matter when, he's not going to be a day two pick. He's going on day three, probably the back half of day three. But the team that invests some equity into him, I'm gonna look at their situation, Rich. Like, okay, the Rams drafted him, the Cowboy. Let's look at how he can fit into one of these situations. And I absolutely can see a world in which he's on the field contributing, maybe not from a meaningful perspective right away, but it will be. He just feels like one of those guys that is going to be on a team. And if you stick around long enough, Rich, if you can hang on long enough, you'll probably fall into some opportunity. And he's going to do all the other stuff because he's going to be a late round pick. He's going to have to do all the dirty, nasty, ugly things that Breece Hall will never do, that Christian McCaffrey will never be asked to do. He's going to have to do those things. But if he can earn his way onto a 53, he's got the skill set to be deployed as a pass catching weapon. There's no doubt about that. He ain't just a running back that can catch the ball. He can be deployed as a mismatch problem for defenses. He's going to be an interesting one to see who picks him up.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Do you have any other of these you know bottom level guys?
I got one. Yes, I have one, and he was a high level recruit. Good Lord, he's played at what some would consider RBU in the SEC. I still am very much in on Georgia running back Kendall Milton. He's gonna be another one of those guys. Man, I'm telling you, Rich, I want my Cowboy. If Dallas takes him in the sixth, I bet you he's got a chance to start. Just doing what he does. He's not a prolific receiver, but he can catch. But with his size, his athleticism that he displayed at the combine, not at the pro day, he did this in front of everybody else. This was a guy that had the pedigree coming out. And I know a lot of people will look at the production from the Georgia running backs and they'll say, really wasn't there. But if you go back and you can look this up, Kirby Smart has said repeatedly, his pitch to five-star recruits is, you're going to come to Georgia and we're not going to give you carries. Go look, going back to Nick Chubb, how many running backs exceeded like 220 carries for Georgia? Very few. He keeps them fresh. He's not going to load them up with carries. Kendall Milton has the size build that an NFL team can legitimately say, you know what, line up back there and take 15 to 20 carries because we need you. And I'm not saying he's got long-term RB1 dynasty potential, but if you can get on the field and score me fantasy points, well, then there's an opportunity for me to move you for capital, move you for additional players, put you in a trade, or just use that cheap production that literally probably is going to cost you a waiver wire pickup or a fourth round rookie draft pick. I'm trying to find the most positive EV bet at running back, the most bang for my buck. Rich, you know it better than me. You're not going to make money in the betting market taking minus 300 bets. That ain't going to happen. You got to take some plus 115s, some plus 120s to make some money. I'm looking for that plus 120. Hell, with Kendall Milton, it's probably like plus 500 drafting him in the fourth round to score you points. I still like Kendall Milton out of Georgia quite a bit.
Yeah, and you're talking about if Kendall Milton does hit, he's got the type of running back, because he's a big play machine. Only Jalen Wright created an explosive play and a higher rate of his touches than Kendall Milton in this draft class. So, like, if he hits, like, he's the guy, like, if he hits, it's going to be like when you saw Chase Brown get touches last year and you, like, fall in love with that 50-yard screen. Like, that's the type of plays, right? Like, you're getting, like, the big chunk gains, the big splash play touchdowns. And you could maybe he's even arbitrage on a guy like Jalen Wright, right? Like, who knows in this draft class, right?
Rich, Georgia, Todd Gurley, no Sean Marino. You know the cycle. He's a Georgia SEC running back. We're simple folks. Fantasy gamers are very simple folks. You literally, no one gave a damn about Chase Brown for 14 weeks. Then he gets out there and gets on the screen. Chase Brown, we're reeling him in, baby. So, Kendall Milton, man.
If you're a running back and you're on the field getting touches, we are in, man. That's an opportunity game, man. It's an opportunity game. That's all we want. Let me ask you about a couple of these guys at the bottom. One guy that keeps popping up on all these visits is Marshall running back Rasheen Ali. I threw him in the notes just because I'm like, he keeps popping up. Like the Cowboys have had, like, they've used like 8 of their visits on running backs already. Spoiler alert, the Cowboys are taking a running back. But Rasheen Ali keeps getting all these visits to places. You know, he's a guy that, like, you look at, like, it was 3 years ago, 2021, he had a monster year, gets hurt the year after, comes back. He scored a shitload of touchdowns in college. I gotta go back and see, like, do you have a Rasheen Ali take? I don't really have. I gotta go back to this. I gotta go back to this kid.
I played in a little C2C, little campus to Canton, so I had some Rasheen Ali, what feels like 13 years ago, so I'm glad he finally declared for the draft. But he kind of feels like who was the guy that we were pumping up out of UAB? A couple of Dwayne McBride. Land on a spot and get. It's a fickle. I don't want to say that. I don't want to be dismissive and say no, because I never in a million years thought Zamir White would be a starting running back, or at least have an opportunity to be a starting running back based on what he did in college and the injuries. Where does he land? I don't want to cop out, Rich. I swear to you, I'm not trying to cop out. I'm on this kick this year where I do think situation matters a hell of a lot more than we think. I think we all recognize it in the fantasy game, and some more than others. And I know what y'all do over here. You understand it, Rich, but those offensive schemes and situations dictate some of the looks that these running backs get, the lanes in which they can produce. This is a real thing, and I think it's a blind spot for fantasy gamers because most people don't understand that side of football. The O-line, D-line, linebacking core, stack boxes, what you do schematically from an offensive standpoint to create advantageous running lanes for running backs. And the more you know about that, not saying it's the foolproof system in order to identify, but it will help you make some better plus EV bets down the line on players like Labe or Ali or Kendall Milton.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's the stuff. And especially, I think it matters even more now than ever because of just the way the running back position is being utilized and the way the current defensive meta is in the NFL and how, you know, the defense is trying to dictate how offenses play. And we're seeing a lot of that. And, you know, and then how fantasy points are scored, right? Like, who's getting kind of those touches that matter? Because we talked about it. You could be a guy getting 15, 16 touches, but if you're not getting the touches we care about and they're just empty calories, then, you know, what are you doing for my fantasy lineup? You're just a brick, man. Any of these other guys you want to touch on? Let me ask you one more guy, just because, listen, man, I grew up a 49ers fan. One of my favorite players was Frank Gore. I want Frank Gore Jr. to be good. I want him to be good. I know he's probably not going to be good, but tell me about Frank Gore Jr. Does he have any hope?
He's a good player. I think he's a nice little running back. I really do. I think he's a nice running back, and his name is going to afford him some opportunity too. Like, that's his name is going to give him a crack at it, just in case he's got some shades of his pops in there.
Yeah, Luke I like McCaffrey, Frank Gore. Luke McCaffrey's getting an opportunity too, guys.
100. Brendan Rice. Think about the names of greats we have in this class. Harrison, Rice, Gore, McCaffrey. These guys are going to get looks. They're going to get opportunities. So I'll say this about Frank Gore. Right now, where we sit today, he's the type of guy that in a standard four-round rookie draft, unless you're in a league with Rich Rebar, you probably don't have to spend a draft pick on him, right? Rich will probably take him with that 411 spot. Damn it, I'm taking Frank Gore Jr. But he's a priority waiver ad. Like if you get through your rookie drafts and he's sitting there on waivers, that first tranche, or that run that happens on Wednesday, he needs to be a part of that. He's a running back that's got a shot to make a 53. I'm interested. If you've got a chance to crack a 53 and be active on game days, he's got the skill set. Hell, if you want to be real, I think he's a better running back in the traditional sense of the word than Braylon Allen is. Turnaround handball, I think he's got more skills in his tools chest than Braylon Allen. But Allen's going to get the capital. He played it. I get all those things. I like Frank Gore Jr. I'm glad you put him on this list because I did want to talk about him. I don't think he's hopium. I think he's a real football player. We got to see where he lands, though, right?
Yeah, and I'm interesting. You know, Jerry had another son that went through the system too and didn't quite make it. I'm trying to think. He played a little bit for the then Washington Redskins. Man, I can't think of what his other son was. His name was, but he came out before Brendan Rice. Just didn't have quite a shot. You know, Jerry's old. Jerry played a long Jerry's time old. In the NFL.
Jerry also put up an incredible 40-year-old season, which whole nother topic for another day, what he did in Oakland, but yes.
Yeah. People don't know. But yeah, that's a great walkthrough. I have one hypothetical before I get at you, and then I do want to get to the Destination Debbie stuff just on your way out, but hypothetical, I've been talking to gamers about this in this particular class in context from a top-down stance in the running backs. And I want gamers to, while we talk about situation matters in this class, I want people to be cognizant, though, that even if the situation matters, we need to be careful of elevating a guy that goes at like pick 55, pick 65, and is the first running back taken versus like past guys in previous drafts that still like sneak into the back of the first round or go pick 35, go pick 40. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to take one of these guys.
Yes.
There is a player that the Cowboys, they might take two of these guys. Who knows? That player is going to then get just helium in dynasty drafts, your rookie drafts. How careful are you going to be like with that player? Like, where are you going? Let's assume it's just the first running back goes to the Cowboys. Let's say it's Jonathan Brooks, or let's say it's Blake Corman, he goes to the Cowboys. Where would you then slot that player where you would be comfortable selecting him versus the wide receivers in this class?
You are 1,000% right. I think so many times we have elevated and propelled a player just because they hit a spot. But I think that's because we just looked at the spot and said, oh, God, it's going to be great here. This isn't the same Dallas Cowboys team that Ezekiel Elliott was drafted to in 2016. They are without a center. They are without a left tackle. They have no right tackle that's quality right now. This is not the same Dallas team. It's not how Mike McCarthy wants to play. I do think if they draft a running back historically, go look at Dallas's second-round picks. They're all injured. If you were hurt in college, Dallas will draft you in the second round. As sure as the sun will rise in the morning, they're going to take Jonathan Brooks in the second round. I've got no qualm about it. I'm not even on the fence.
They're going to have to beat Trent Baalke to him first.
Well, Trent likes injured players too. Trent loves some injured players. Nothing that Will McClay and Jerry Jones love more than injured players. But you're right. I'll say this. Blake Corum can go to Dallas in the second round, 54, 55, wherever they pick. Jalen Wright lands in Los Angeles in the third. Trey Benson goes to an RB needy team in the third. I will prioritize because they're in the – isn't that the point of tiering? Isn't that the whole point of tiering, that I kind of like all four of these guys? I'm going to see where they fall. I'm going to assess that situation. And I said it at the start. This is the draft capital at running back really for me, like always like your first round running back. If you're picked in the first round, top 12, Jahmyr Gibbs range, Bijan Robinson range, absolutely. Looking back on it now, I don't give a shit that Zach Charbonnet was in the second round. We should not have done that. We shouldn't have did it. We should not have done that. But I at least for me in my process, I am learning how to recognize and identify fruitful situations that can yield positive fantasy results without getting out over my skis that, oh my God, this guy needs to be drafted ahead of Brian Thomas Jr. To answer your question, there is no landing spot and no capital outside of the first round or a high second round pick, which I don't believe will happen, that will have any running back in this class higher than, I'll just say right now, wide receiver 5 or 6. And that's assuming Xavier Worthy gets the capital, Ladd McConkey gets the capital. I'm taking those wide receivers over any running back drafted by the Dallas Cowboys at 54 in the second, any of them. I think the floor for the starting point for me, 12-team league, 111, 112 might be like the starting range of where I start to consider that top running back that hits the situation that I deem the most fruitful.
Yep, you're speaking my language. This is what I've been preaching in context of this rookie class in particular. I love it. We preach some positivity, but we also want to preach some caution as well. Yeah. You know, you got to know what you're. I love too that you tied in cost to a lot of these takes, because that's what matters. You know, we're gonna be wrong on a lot of these individual player takes, especially with rookies. We're wrong on a lot of them in August, and we know the NFL players, right? Like, we've seen an NFL sample, and these guys haven't played any down. We don't even know what team they're on, and they haven't played
anything
there. So check it out. I do want to get you out here. We went a couple minutes longer because we went a couple minutes late. But I do want to get you out on the Destination Devi stuff. Tell us what's going on at Destination Devi. I know that you have my guy Scott Connor over there doing stuff behind the scenes. I love Scott. You and I play in a couple leagues together. I'm in like 7 dynasty leagues with Scott, and this dude is an absolute animal. Like, he's a demon. Like, I don't know how this dude has this much time on his hands to be doing content creation stuff. He's out here doing every micro edges. He's sending me trades for like Josh Dobbs. He's trying to get 5th round picks for me. He just grinds micro edges. This dude is everywhere. He's a great player, but he's a really cool dude too. But yeah, let everyone know.
You're nice, man. He's a sick individual. He's a sick individual. Stop trying to take my backup quarterback. Stop asking for my 4th. Stop it, Scott. I don't want him. But no, he's phenomenal, man. That is he's turned into my business partner. So over at Destination Devi, we're trying to bring my big thing is pairing fantasy football with real football. So we're trying to provide context to some of the things that we see, some of the things that we talk about. We're just cranking out content, Rich. I'm not big on the self-promotion thing. DestinationDevi.com, DestinationDevi on YouTube. I'm in the space, Ragey Cube. We've got a great team of people. And more so than anything, I think it's the Scott Connors, it's Shane Manila, it's Cody and Chase that people don't know about. It's Eugene and Ike. Nobody knows who those guys are, but it's those people that are grinding and growing in the next generation of fantasy, content analyst. And that's what I want to do is propel people. And I'm already here, right? I've done it. We've been in the space for a while. It's fun. I want to see other people grow. So that's sort of the focus of Destination Devi right now, providing tools to help pair fantasy and real football together, make sharper roster construction moves, and just have fun talking about football and playing this game. So I appreciate you letting me plug that. But more importantly, man, I appreciate you letting me share your platform with you, man. You are an absolute goat, a G, a staple, a stalwart in this industry. And thank you personally, Rich, for everything that you've done for the fantasy space. You're inspirational to a lot of us, man. Real talk.
Oh, too kind. Listen, I'm glad we finally got to do it. Hopefully we don't take as long to run it back. Hopefully I get to see you in August. You make a return. I don't know if you've given word on that. Maybe you never go back. It's one of those
I ain't going back. Man. Screw you. I ain't even finna gaslight you. I'm not finna lie to you. I'm not going to be there. Rich, but I'll see you soon. I'm not going to be there. I ain't playing no damn fantasy football. I ain't going to be there. But I love you, baby. I love you.
I appreciate it. Listen, you go over to sharpfootballanalysis.com. Remember, you can use promo code SAVE5 on the draft kit. We're cranking out of that content. I'll be back next week with Matt Harmon. We're going to be breaking down all of these wide receivers. I know you guys want to talk about those. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back next week.